when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we have a request. We'd like your input on how we could improve the podcast. And as such, we're running a survey over on the Site Visibility website. It'll take about 5 minutes of your time, and it would really help us to continue to make your podcasting experience with us as great as possible. If you'd like to help us out, go to www.sitevisibility.com/survey. We'd really appreciate your feedback. So that's sitevisibility.com/survey. And today, Kelvin Newman talks to SEO trainer Danny Richmond. Enjoy.
Joining me today, we've got Danny Richmond. Danny is a really experienced SEO trainer. I'm not, spoil your intro too much, Danny, but he's been training for a long time and trained a lot of people. And we're going to be talking to him today about a variety of different topics of what he's learned from doing that SEO training over that time. But Danny, it'd be great if I could kind of, start out by getting a bit of a background and introduce our listeners to yourself and, what you do, what you've done, and some of your experience along the way.
Yeah, hi, Kelvin. So, as you say, I've been training in SEO for quite a while now. My background was as a software developer back in the early 80s. So you can tell I'm getting on a bit now. The way I got into the training side was actually quite by chance, really. When Google first came about in the sort of mid-late 90s, I was using SEO myself for my own online businesses to try and drive traffic to those sites. And for me, I fell in love with SEO. For me, it was the perfect blend of my favorite bit of business, which is marketing, and technology, which had always been my background. So to be able to marry those two things together was just perfect for me, really. Around about 7-8 years ago, I got involved with a charity in the UK called the Prince's Trust, which was started up by Prince Charles, and it's a charity that helps young disadvantaged people start up their own business. And they asked me if I'd come along and run some workshops for the young people there and do some mentoring and teach them how to use SEO for their own websites. And it was really initially through that experience that I then started thinking about actually providing training as a service to commercial clients. And when I looked into it, I realized that there was a bit of a gap in the market, because a lot of the training services that are out there are either group training, where there's several different businesses all sat round a table, which is absolutely fine, but obviously it means that everyone is having to learn at the same pace and the same material. And the other thing I noticed is that there were a lot of SEO agencies out there that were effectively using training as a means to gain clients. It was kind of a bit of a backdoor. What I really wanted to do was offer private SEO training for in-house marketing teams. And that meant that I could make the whole thing specific and relevant to them, their website, show them examples on their website of how they can improve things. And of course, I'm now speaking in their language. I'm not speaking in an SEO language. I'm speaking about things that they understand. So I enjoyed it much more rather than delivering the same material day after day. And it seemed to work very well with the people that were attending these workshops. So yeah, I've been doing that now for around about 7 years. And I think I've probably worked with, well, if we include all the businesses I work with on the Prince's Trust, then probably around about 700 different businesses now that I've worked with since I started.
That's quite a lot of attendees coming along there and passing through. Are there kind of any big misconceptions or, you know, patterns in, you know, that's a lot of people who are kind of interested in learning about search. What are kind of some of their, you know, things that they're looking to learn from search, and I suppose what are their biggest misconceptions? What do they get wrong about search?
Yeah, it's a funny one, this, actually, because, you know, one of the first things that I always ask people before we do a workshop is I try to get a sense of what knowledge, previous knowledge or experience they have of SEO. And some people tell me, oh, yeah, no, I've been looking into this for quite a long time. And other people say, I know nothing. I'm an absolute beginner. And I never find that that really has much impact on what they actually know. There are a lot of common misconceptions that people have, and a lot of that is very often based on outdated information. They're reading from either unreliable sources, or they've been reading things from 5 years ago which are no longer relevant. So for example, one of the common things I find is there are still a huge number of people out there that think the main factor that determines how well a website ranks on Google is the amount of traffic that the website gets.
And I've always found that one confusing, Danny, because it's like, it feels like, well, surely if there were any relationship that there should be between paid and natural, is that if you were doing paid, you should do worse on natural. Well, I mean, it may.
So this isn't about paid and natural. This they think that the websites that get the most visitors, organic visitors, are the ones that that Google will favour, that Google is ranking them just because they get a lot of traffic, regardless of how that traffic goes. And that's a really common misconception. I mean, actually, I did a study on this a couple of years ago, and it turns out that that's what most of the public believe.
It's a chicken and egg one then, almost. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, so it's things like that. And then for those that know a little bit more, very often they still think that a lot of the kind of black hat tactics that were being used, you know, sort of 6-7 years ago, all these spammy link building and things like that, they've got some people still have this idea that SEO is a bit of a dark art, that you have to know the secret that only SEO people are in on. You know, that's still quite common.
I wish they'd let me know the secret, Danny. You know,
me too. And also, as you said as well, you know, there are still many people out there that think that Google will give you a bit of a boost in the organic listings if you spend lots of money with them on advertising. So, you know, those are some of the most common misconceptions that there are still flying around.
Is there anything that you've learned in particular from the training? You know, there's a lot of people who pass through there, things that you've learned about the process of SEO, right? That's a lot of, you know, understanding and getting a sense of the SEO needs of that many different companies, I suppose, must give you some really interesting insights in terms of actually more about what search is genuinely about.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, you know, if you ever really want to learn a subject, teach it, you know, because you learn so much through that process. And obviously, you've also got to stay quite on top of what's going on in a particular field, because you're getting questions thrown at you all the time, and you need to be able to answer them without just winging your way through it, you know. So, yeah, I think, you know, some of the things that I've picked up more generally is, first of all, as much as I hate to say this, there are some businesses that just aren't really suited to SEO. SEO is not the best channel for every single business that's out there. Occasionally, I'm working with companies that have come up with some sort of unique product where there isn't an existing demand for that, and people aren't out there searching for it. Now, I'm not saying that SEO can't be useful there, because you can create some content around the problem that they might be trying to solve rather than transactional searches. Yeah. but it certainly does make it a lot harder. Small businesses that are starting up in a very competitive space, like, for example, the fashion industry. You know, if you're trying to sell branded products and you're a tiny little business, it's going to be very difficult getting presence on Google when you're competing with sites like Net-a-Porter and ASOS and those kind of things. So, you know, there are some cases where SEO can definitely be a bit of a struggle. But, you know, one thing I have learnt on the kind of more positive side is that, you know, I've found that SEO can absolutely be understood by everybody. I have never in all of these years now, I've never had anyone walk away saying, I don't get it. I don't see how it's appropriate to me or how I can gain some benefit from that. You know, I think I mean, obviously there are some quite technical elements of SEO, but for the most part, you know, a business owner, or even somebody working in a marketing team doesn't necessarily need to know all the ins and outs of some of the more technical elements, so, you know, hreflang tags and canonical tags and all these kind of things. But the core principles of SEO and how you can improve visibility on Google absolutely can be understood by everybody. And I have also learned as well that it can be taught in a fun and engaging and inspiring way.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And the key to that largely is relevance, making it relevant to the people that are learning it.
I've always found actually that like keyword research in particular is one of these ideas that once you kind of understood that's kind of hugely powerful, even if you never use it for any search. You know, kind of just understanding your customers is such a powerful tool to have in your arsenal.
Absolutely. And one of the things I love about this is that so much of what you learn from SEO is really just basic marketing, you know, and seeing things from your customer's point of view, understanding who they are, what their problems are, you know, how they're trying to go about solving those problems. It's essentially really what SEO is, you know. And yet I still see on so many websites businesses using language that only have a meaning to people that work within the organization.
Yeah, that's one of those fundamental ones, isn't it? Use the words that your customers use rather than you use. Yeah. And I think, you're right. It's right on that thing there. And kind of, you know, are there any kind of common mistakes that you still see? So we started, obviously that's one there as well, but any other patterns or things that you kind of often see that mistakes that people made, maybe, I don't know, you know, challenges that people often face, maybe around content management systems or, you know, any particular common mistakes that kind of pop up?
Yeah, content management systems can be a bit of a headache, particularly because sometimes I work with more established companies where they're using some custom-made CMS You know, that they had developed a few years ago. In fact, I was working with quite a large company just a few weeks ago, where the CMS just completely prevented them from doing pretty much anything from an SEO point of view. And when I suggested that they might want to consider using a different CMS, I was told in no uncertain terms that because the CMS was developed by the CEO's brother-in-law, that wasn't going to happen. So, CMS can often be an issue. But actually, that kind of highlights something that's even more important, I think, which is the culture within an organization is hugely important. Hugely, you know, at the end of the day, SEO is not like paid advertising. It's not something that you're going to be able to turn on and turn off instantly. It takes a certain leap of faith that this is going to work, because it's, you know, you're going to have to put in a certain amount of time and effort and be patient before you see the results of that effort, you know. So not every businesses have the culture where that is allowed to exist. They've got targets they need to hit, and, you know, they've got to account for the time they're spending on things, which is great for those that have the culture that does allow for that. You know, it absolutely gives them a competitive advantage. So, yeah, it's very often, you know, a cultural element to this that that I think really sorts out why one company will succeed and one company won't when it comes to SEO.
And are there any kind of particular results that you've seen or successes that you've seen along the way that you think can either be instructive and helpful to people when thinking about whether SEO would work for them, whether they are the kind of organization that ought to be experimenting?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I could talk about some very successful, well-known brands, but I actually would prefer to pick an example in terms of results. I prefer to pick an example of a tiny, tiny little business that I worked with at the Prince's Trust, because I just think it's very illustrative of where SEO can be used. Now, this was a business, it's run by one woman, and she provides a service where she does sort of artistic pleating and folding of fabric and different materials. Okay. And when I started looking at search volumes, they were almost non-existent. I mean, there seemed to be very few people out there that were even looking for these services. And I wasn't sure at the beginning whether SEO was even going to be something that would be helpful to her business. But we gave it a go. We started looking at the searches that were out there, even though there are very small numbers of people searching for these things. And she started optimizing her pages. She did some content, got some links into the site. And then there aren't many people searching for these terms, but the people that are very lucrative clients, and she's now ended up doing a whole load of work for Nike and for River Island, doing a load of window displays for them, and it's just ended up with her getting so much sort of bespoke contract work from the few people that are doing these searches, that it just, it kind of, I think the reason I like to use that as an example is because it surprised me. I didn't think it was going to work, and it's actually completely transformed her business. So yeah, even a tiny little one person business like that, I think, can see enormous benefits. And, you know, and then at the other end of the scale, I've got, I can't mention the name, but you know, I've got a client that I'm working with at the moment where they're doing £20 million worth of turnover just through their website, only from unbranded organic searches. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and everything in between. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. Searches and SEO is one of those ones that they're, no one's got it 100% perfect, right? And it's kind of, there's always opportunity to do new things in a better way. Now, whether, you know, for some organisations, whether they've got the capacity or the infrastructure to deliver that, that often becomes the challenge. But yeah. I think, like you say, I think you've illustrated there a really good sense of kind of, you know, there's opportunity in search for pretty much everyone in some way, shape or form, even if it is to realise that it's not an opportunity, I suppose, is an interesting insight in its own right. So, Danny, I mean, you've taught all of these people, particularly through the Prince's Trust, that must be kind of, you know, hugely rewarding. Is there any kind of experience and things that you've learned as a process of teaching this number of people?
It is very rewarding, I have to say. You know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, sometimes, I spend a lot of time at the Prince's Trust. I work there as a volunteer, so I don't get paid to do it, and I'm there 2-3 days a week, so it's, you know, often half my week is spent there, you know. And sometimes people say to me, oh, you know, that's a very charitable or noble thing to do, and I absolutely don't feel that way about it at all. I do it entirely because of how much pleasure it gives me. It's actually quite selfish, you know, working with these young people, and just the other thing as well is, you know, when I teach this to young people, they are so interested in this as a topic, and they just immediately get it, you know, and then to go and see a certain percentage of them that will just go and run with it. What's really rewarding is the number of people that I've taught SEO to that then decide that they no longer want to do the business that they started to do, and they now want to go and work in the field of SEO. And that's very encouraging. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I love teaching, which, considering what a horrific time I had at school, seems a very odd thing for me to be saying. But maybe because of that, you know, I think to be able to speak about something that you're passionate about, not have to deliver the same material all the time because I'm always gearing it to the people I'm speaking to. And to do that, you know, in an engaging way that people come away and thinking, you know, that was a really helpful experience, is incredibly rewarding. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Danny. I mean, I'm really, really impressed. I mean, I probably do 2 days of training I deliver a month, and that leaves me absolutely shattered and drained. So I'm always impressed by anyone who does training fairly regularly. So thanks so much, Danny. I think you've given a really interesting insight in terms of, you know, the world of SEO, and indeed some lessons along the way that I think would be really useful and helpful for all the people attending. Danny, just to kind of round us out, what's the best way for people to get in touch or kind of, you know, follow you on social media or any of those types of things? Where should people go if they want a little bit more Danny Richmond in their life?
Well, they can check out my website, which is at seotraininglondon.org. Or if you're in the UK, you could just type SEO training into Google and you'll see it come up number one on there. And I've got a blog on there. So you can follow me on Twitter. I'm always, I write stuff and do some research on different aspects of search marketing. Not that often. Probably no more than about once every 6 to 8 weeks or so. But I try and make whatever I do write, I try and make it worth reading. So, yeah, you can check it out on there.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for that, Danny. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. And like I say, yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of your work. And that's why we get you to come and train along at Brighton SEO as well. So thanks very much for that, Danny. Thanks for your time. And thanks, listeners. We'll see you all soon.
So that's it, folks. Thanks for listening. The show notes are at sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review on iTunes or your podcasting app, because that helps us to get the good information out to more and more people. Don't forget the survey. That's sitevisibility.com/survey. At sitevisibility is where you'll find us on Twitter. If you want to continue the conversation, there's the Site Visibility group on LinkedIn as well. Don't forget that. And that's it for today, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.